Most often we might think, no, it's about life and death. No, it's about death and life. And then baptism reveals the Father's affirming love, and that's really where I want us to focus today. But baptism is a decisive step. And we have this passage from Acts chapter 2. When the people heard this is when the Apostle Peter has stood up on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit has come in extraordinary power upon the 120 or so people who were followers of Jesus. They were a bit confused, not really sure what was going on, because Jesus had left them and yet they'd met the risen Jesus, and he'd said to them, just wait. Stay in the city, wait, don't go anywhere, don't do very much, just wait. And they'd waited, the Holy Spirit had fallen upon them, and they were able to declare the praises of God in all sorts of different languages. And Peter stands up in front of the crowd, have started to ridicule the Christians, and he says, you know, this is happening because God long ago promised the gift of the Holy Spirit, not just for the rulers or for the kings, not just for the prophets, but for everyone. And what has happened is that the Jesus you crucified is in fact the Son of God. And you've done this terrible deed, but God has raised him from the dead. And when the people hear that they have crucified God's chosen one, they are cut to the heart. And they turn to Peter and the other apostles and they say, brothers, what should we do? And Peter's clear response is, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For some people in their lives, as they journey with Jesus, baptism is that critical point where they are cut to the heart. And they know, I need to mark a change in my life. I need to follow Jesus properly. I need to do it deeply. I need to put away relationships and attitudes. I need to put away ambitions and desires that have forever held me back, but I've let them cling to me because they feel so cozy and so lovely to have them, but I need to put them down. And that's very much where these people were. They had reached that decisive point. Where were they going to go? Were they going to turn to God, or were they going to run for the rest of their lives? And that was the challenge for them. For some people, it's very different, as we shall see. But a decisive step, there is conviction. We're told they were cut to the heart. And it may be that for you, there is that conviction about baptism. About your own baptism, that you've been baptized and you have that conviction. Yes, it was critical for me, for my journey with Jesus. But it might be for you that either you haven't been baptized yet, but you've had the conviction for a long time, or you've only just received that sense of conviction. I should be thinking about this. But then there is submission. Because they say, brothers, what should we do? And I know we're not very good at submission. Are we? Anybody good at submission? We're not very good at submission. Because, I recognize it may be that we feel so much of our life is out of our control. So much of each one of our lives is determined by somebody else. And so we say, I'd like to retain control of my life. So to submit to somebody else is to say, here is my life. What should I do? I know we're very careful about that. And it might be that you've done that in the past, and the result has been that you've been desperately hurt and somebody's taken advantage of you and they've exercised power over you when they shouldn't have done, and so on. So we're not very good with submission. But because these people are cut to their heart, because there is this deep conviction they have sinned against God by crucifying the Son of God, there is this conviction, what should I do? And it may be that for us, we are more like these people. We say there is this conviction. It might be, we're not saying that, you know, we're terrible sinners or anything like that. But it might be there's just a deep conviction. If I'm going to progress my journey with God, I need to be prepared to say, okay. Watch it. Now, I won't tell you all the stories, but I know there have been those times in my life when I've had to do that. And for me, you know, I just went, you know, do you ever feel like that? You know, you're battling against what you know is going on inside. And I've often been there, and I've just, okay, have your way with God. Submission. But then the transformation. Peter is looking for transformation. He doesn't want them to stay in a place of sin. He doesn't want them to stay in a place of shame. He doesn't want to be able to say, you know, you get in your place months or years later because you were there on Pentecost and you're the ones I accused or anything like that. He wants them to be free. He wants a life transformed. And so he says, repent, turn your life around, look at the teaching of Jesus, follow the teaching of Jesus, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And when we understand that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the Creator God who speaks into nothingness and says, let there be light, and there was light. That is the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead. Where there was no life, God said, let there be life. And God raised Jesus from the dead. That same Holy Spirit is the Holy Spirit who comes into our hearts and our lives when we submit to Him. And we should expect transformation. If it's the same Spirit who comes into us, the Creator, the one who raises the dead, we should expect transformation. We should expect irritation. You fancy that? Bit of irritation. We should. We should expect irritation. We should expect the Spirit to annoy us. Get on us. And say, you will never move forward until you change this or do this. Or follow this path. I know it's tough, but I'll be with you. Because the Holy Spirit is committed to us more deeply than we're ever committed to ourselves. He's committed to our transformation. And He wants you to be presented before God, pure and blameless, on the last day. So He's got a lot of work, certainly with me. You know, His work really cut out. But baptism is that decisive step here. Now, the second thing is baptism is about death and life. A second passage. And for this, we turn to the Apostle Paul and to Romans and chapter 6. And this is where the believers that he's writing to have been saying, well, do you know, God forgives sin, doesn't it? Isn't that great? God forgives sin. And in fact, God's grace is lavished on us when we confess our sin. So tell you what, why don't we sin a bit more? Because then when we confess our sin, He'll lavish grace upon us. So they got into this extraordinary situation, although they were sinning quite deliberately, it seems, so that they could confess their sin, so that they could receive more grace. And Paul says, no, you've got it all messed up. Don't you understand that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death. We were therefore buried with Him. The old life was gone. We were buried with Him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. When we give our lives to God and we come to that point of baptism, says Paul, the old is gone. We don't live according to the values of the old anymore. And it marks the end of one life. A life that is about us. A life that says, I determine what I want, what I desire, what I'm ambitious about, and so on. It marks the end of that one life, in order to, very simply, to live a new life, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Okay, so, baptism is about death and life, and that's the point that the Apostle Paul wants to make. It is about death and life. When we're baptized, what we're saying, effectively, is that just as Jesus died and was put in a tomb, when we are baptized, it's as if we take our place with Him in the tomb. And we wait. We wait for God to bring life to us. But we could also say, and I think I've always said this, this is about putting down the life that is centered on me in order to take up the life of following Jesus. That's what we do. So baptism is the marking of the end of one life, putting down the life that is centered on me in order to take up the life of following Jesus. And we need to recognize that for some of us, you have journeyed, in a sense, with Jesus for a long time. You haven't been baptized, perhaps, but you've journeyed with Jesus for a long time. But you've never truly put down the values, the ethos of an old life. The attitudes that you've had for years, the things that you think, well, I have a right to live like this. I have a right to this attitude, this desire, this ambition, this relationship. And nobody can tell me that I can't. And God says, well, if you want to live with me, you will have to change. And baptism is a critical time for some folk. Because they say, right, I'm putting down my old life in order that I can live a new life. The new life that you dream of. And think, if only I could be free. And that is a critical time. So, baptism, it's a decisive step. It's a transformative step. It's a critical step for folk to take. It's about death and it's about life. But the third thing is that it reveals the Father's affirming love. And this is the passage we just read from Luke 3. When all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too. And as he was praying, heaven was opened. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. I just think that's a fantastic statement there that reveals the Father's affirming love. You are my son. Do you know, I've mentioned this before, but it's a great film. Remember the film My Left Foot? It's about a young man by the name of Christy Brown. Based on a true story, young man, Christy Brown, lived in Ireland. And he was born, I think, with cerebral palsy. And he was part of a good family, a very working class family in Ireland. But all he could do, really, was to lie on the floor. He had to be carried everywhere. There's nothing much he could do. By using his left leg, he could kind of move himself around a bit, but he would just sit there and dribble. And he basically lived under the stairs in his family's house. And there was a film made about him, and there's an extraordinary scene where his sister, Christy Brown, is there under the stairs, and his sister's doing her homework, and she's trying to work out a maths puzzle. What is a quarter of a quarter? And she's struggling with this. But Christy begins moving, and because obviously he knows the answer, even though he can't express it, and he manages to wedge a piece of chalk between his toes, and he begins to write on the ground, and the whole family stop because this has never happened before. And they watch and they think, what is it? Is it a triangle? Is it an A? What is it that he's done? And his dad comes over and says, it's a triangle. He draws a triangle, and Christy shoves himself around and tries to rub it out. I said, no. He doesn't say anything, but he's trying to communicate. And he gets this chalk and he shoves himself across the floor and then he writes on the ground with his left foot, with this piece of chalk, M-O-T-H-E-R. And they're all crying. And this is true. What he don't know what to do. And Christy Brown's mum finds some money, very poor, gives it to his dad. Where'd you get that? He says, the fairies brought it, she says. He puts it in his pocket and he picks up Christy. Where are you taking him? I'm going to take this lad for a pint. He deserves. Sticks him on his shoulders, marches down the road, bursts into the pub where they're all sitting there looking into their drinks. And he says, this is Christy Brown. He's my son. He's a genius. And I love that. You know, when Jesus was baptized, Why did God speak? Because he said, this is my son. And there is such power and love and affirmation. This is my son. And do you know what? Very few of us have ever had our dads go, this is my son. This is my daughter, Judy. Do you know? And there's a hunger in our hearts to have God, our Father, say, you're mine. You're mine. But when Jesus was baptized, that's what his Father said. And I want to share that because when you're baptized, do you know, there are very few things that Jesus told his disciples to do in terms of what we would call sacraments. And this is one that we're going to share in a few moments. Communion. But baptism is another. It's a sacred thing that was given to us by Jesus. And it seems to me that when we share communion, however simply that is done, it's a sacred thing and God will meet us if we come in faith. And when we are baptized, because it's a sacred thing, a sacrament, God will meet us. And that's where God wants to say, you are my son. You are my daughter. You belong to me, and I'm happy to say that. And we need to understand that is about baptism. And it's the strength of relationship God would have with you. And you'll say, of course, I know, I'll say it myself. You know, I'm not good enough. Because all our lives we've lived with that, we're not good enough to have anybody say, I'm proud of you. You're my son. You're my daughter. And we'll make all sorts of excuses and we'll say we won't be baptized because we're not good enough. But baptism is a place where the God of grace opens heaven. He cries out for you. You're mine. And we need to note that. You are my son, he says, whom I love. And this is the Father's love. This is the Father's love. The Father who would go to the furthest stretches of the universe to find you if you strayed from him. This is the Father's love, the one who has given the eternal love, everlasting love, poured it upon you. It is the Father's love who says, when you come back to him, beaten and bruised, having failed, the Father says, you're my son. You're my daughter. You belong to me. Baptism is such a place that we see such love. And then thirdly, with you I am well pleased. Again, this affirmation, this parental affirmation that I'm sure is not said enough by parents to their children. And how many grown-ups I've spoken to and they say, you know, I'm not sure my dad ever loved me. I'm not sure my mum ever loved me. And what they're really getting at is they never told me they were pleased with me. They never said that. And you might be scarred by that. And it can affect so much of who we are and what we do. When Jesus was baptized, his Father did it well. You know, thumbs up for God. You know, he did it well. You're my son. I love you. And I'm pleased. And it might be that you need to think about baptism. Not because for you it's a critical, decisive step where everything's going to change for you or anything like that. It might be that you think about baptism not because it's about death and life and putting down an old life in order to live a new. You might have to. That might be where you're at. But it might be because you say, I love God. I love God, but I've got so much garbage in my life. I don't know I'm loved. I've never known true affirmation. I've never had anybody say, I'm pleased. And I need to just be baptized and stand there and say, Father, I need your affirmation. I need to know this. And baptism might be the step you take because of that. These three things, all three good, very good reasons why we should be baptized. This is not about a particular tradition in the church. This is about following the way of Jesus. We don't baptize children. We don't just baptize adults. We baptize those who are believers and those who desire to follow Jesus, who can make the decision for themselves and know God's blessing as they journey with Him. So these three things, I'll just pop up again. Decisive step. It's about death and life. It reveals the Father's affirming love. And we'll pause there. Let's pray to Him. And just as we're quiet, perhaps we've got our eyes closed, I'm very confident that God has already spoken to you. And you know precisely what your response has to be today. And if there is that nudge from God for you to be baptized, either in a couple of weeks or later on, you know already. And all you need to say to God is, I submit to you. Whatever the complications, whatever the questions that arise, I submit now to you. May we know the favor and kindness and love and embrace of God as we seek to follow Him now.